The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're gonna cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're gonna make fun of people. We're gonna hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out, the bad seed, the broken data, bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad tape, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Pharrell the Play Show, right across the river and through the woods, where Granny loves that little oney bat, as long as she's got a little whiskey to go with it, in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, they're ready to travel, some kind of fashion check it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, fight to find the party up, rats on the west side, dead bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tad, and my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be check out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging is Pharrell with Mafia. And I guess the Nets, after they upset the Bucks, everybody got all high and mighty on the Nets. And tonight they're back to their normal selves, getting whacked right now by Boston. 47-31, 8 minutes left and change in the first half in the bubble. And I see Joe Harris is back playing. They all took that game off. Allen's playing, Harris playing, LeVert playing. And meanwhile, their best players are playing and they're getting whacked. They win without their best players against the best team, allegedly, in basketball, the Bucks. So that was unbelievable, that game. And tonight they don't have it. Go figure. So just so we're clear, in terms of games going on right now, the Raptors are going to beat the Magic. They're up 91-79, 7.5 left in that one. Everything else is done. The Nuggets beat the Spurs by 6, Sixers by 9 over the Wizards. Wizards covered, Jazz covered against the Grizzlies, 124-115. Thunder beat the Fakers, 105-86. LeBron got teed up on the bench for cussing out a ref on a call he didn't like. He even cries when he's on the bench. Penguins and Canadiens going to the third period, tied at 3 as Pittsburgh blew a 3-1 lead.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast, I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell with you, Pharrell on the bench. So, Penguins were down 1-0 on a Weber goal. Then Hornqvist tied it 1-1 on the power play from Malkin and Crosby. Malkin slid it across the goal line, across the crease to the other side, and Hornqvist scored immediately on a snapper right when a penalty was called. Then they gave him another power play. Zucker scored a minute later. It was 2-1. And then Bluger scored on a stuffer on a rebound to make it 3-1. That was at 5:34 of the second period. But then at 10:13, Jonathan Drouin scored, made it 3-2. And then Byron scored at 15:50 to tie it. And that was from Weber and Suzuki. Weber also assisted on the Drouin goal, and Weber has a goal. So Weber's done everything tonight in this game for Montreal. They're tied at threes about 3 minutes into the third. And it's just unbelievable to me how they mess around with this team. I mean, honest to God, you're up 3-1, kicking their ass, skating circles around them, and then you just shut it down. They literally stop playing. Mafia, are you watching this game? Have you watched it at all? Did you have the Penguin game going, or are you just watching the Nets? What do you got going?
I didn't catch it until about the end of the second. Now I've been watching the third period, so I didn't see them blow the lead like that. I saw they were up early and then came back after they had blown it. So I didn't see how they blew it, but I mean, it's just happens so often, but usually not in the playoffs where, you know, you get that lead, you kind of get too comfortable, you stop attacking so much, and then all of a sudden the other team comes back in desperation mode and puts a couple pucks in the net.
I think it's rare to have a two-goal lead in the playoffs and to just give it up like that, honestly. Because, like, and now they've given them a power play. So they're going to have a power play here for 2 minutes. They just, it's one thing after the next in terms of it's amazing to me. Like, you know, in a game where the first goal can mean so much in a game, right? So Weber scores, they're up one zip. You think Montreal's on their way tonight, right? And they got all the confidence in the world. The announcers are saying, wow, they really do look different tonight. They're shorthanded there, and Dumoulin misses the chance to score. They had a 2-on-1 break, and they blew it. They've been blowing everything all night. I mean, they got 3 goals, but they should have 6. They should have 6 goals in this game. That's how many chances they've had. So when you have a 1-0 lead, a lot of people, you know, even the announcers were like, oh, man, I got to tell you, but they look different tonight. They've got a different jump in their step, I heard him say. He said, well, they look fantastic. They look like, you know, they're really playing with some intensity tonight, unlike games 1 and 2 when they didn't do anything. Like, that's what he said. And then sure enough, like a minute later, it was 2-1 Penguins. And then the guy shut up. And there was no more talking about how great Montreal looked then. Then they made it 3-1. And then you don't hear a word out of the guy. And then now they're tied 3-all. And they blew it. So my point is, when you have a 1-0 lead, yeah. Montreal, you would think that you'd have, they'd have all the the rock and roll momentum and everything to get it done tonight. But then you go down 3-1. You're up 3-1 on them after you're down 1-0. You score three straight goals and you blow the game. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. They deserve to lose. They deserve to lose this game, and they're going to lose the game because they blew a 3-1 lead. You know you lose once you blow a 3-1 lead. You're going to lose the game, right? You know what's going to happen next, right? They just about scored there and hit the post.
Well, ricochets all there. I know, the couple guys off the goalie, off the post. They must have hit like four or five people on the way to that post.
This is just like game one where they're going to win in overtime. They were down 3-1, and they'll come back and win in overtime. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. They deserve to lose. You can't even argue it, Mafia. You can't deny it. Like, if you blow a 3-1 lead in a Stanley Cup playoff game in one period, in the second period, all you got to do is go to the third, up two goals, and finish them off, play defense, play, you know, trap the entire time, do whatever. Don't let them in your zone, and you win the game. And then instead, they just let them do whatever they want. They let this crappy team do whatever they want. You can't even deny they're a crappy team. I mean, they've got nothing on that team.
Oh, they're absolutely terrible. They don't deserve to be there. In fact, you know, one of the reports is that they didn't want to be there. So it's amazing that they're putting on the performance that they are. And this playoffs has been just so wacky with the scenarios, with the bubbles, and, you know, no home ice, no this or that. Like, how many, what it was like 80% of the underdogs won in the first 2 days? You had like so many unders going on in the first, you know, 3 or 4 days of it. And now all of a sudden everyone's scoring, and, you know, the better teams have gotten back in a little bit, but still a lot of the crappy teams that didn't deserve it to be in the playoffs are the ones holding leads in these series. It's amazing.
Of course they are. The teams that don't deserve to be there are the ones playing well, but your team didn't deserve to be there either. But they got swept.
They did. Yeah.
So I don't even understand that. I still can't figure out how that team has that much talent on it. In my opinion, you've heard me on Coast to Coast and Perel on the Bench, both shows, rattling off all the star players they have. In my opinion, guys that can really play, and Panarin, Kreider, Kako, I think can light up. Zibanejad. It goes on and on, and they couldn't do anything against Carolina. I mean, they legitimately did nothing. They scored. They just scored to take a 4-3 lead. Ooh, this game's over. I mean, it is so unbelievable. It is so unbelievable to me that they can't beat this team. I mean, they suck so bad. They should just fold up shop right now. Fold up shop and go home for the season, because they play like such peas. Up 3-1, and now they've given them three straight goals and they're losing the game. That is unbelievable to me. And now they'll win because they got Carey Price. He's not going to let in a goal. That is so unbelievable to me that they blew this game. It really is. It's stunning. It is just absolutely. They suck
off
so
the
bad.
Helmet. Off the goal, off Murray's helmet, off the bad angle. Holy jeez. You're watching it as a slow motion. Like, how can he possibly sneak this in? It seems like Murray has the whole net covered from that side, and then all of a sudden it goes off his head.
I mean, honest to God, I can't even take it. I can't even watch this team play. I can't even watch them play. That's how bad they are. They suck so bad. You watch them, you're up 3-1, and then you give up three straight goals. Like, how bad do you suck? Seriously, how bad do you suck? I can't even, I mean, this stuff's unbelievable. I think that's 6 power plays now to 2. 6 power plays for the Canadians in the game. 6-2 in power plays. That always helps. Always helps having those 6 power plays. You know, usually they even it out. Don't they usually even it out? And, you know, it's like 4-3 at worst, or they both have the same amount of power plays. But they got 6 and the Penguins have 2. So there you go.
Plays been so sloppy. There's been so many calls where these, you know, you watch some of these games and you get no rhythm going 5-on-5 because they're always special teams.
Yeah, call another penalty on him. Why don't you? Call another penalty. I mean, that's all they're doing is playing dirty so that they get all these calls. We're going to talk to Kerry Eggers. He's an author, and he covers the Blazers. And he's been on the show before, KerryEggers.com. He's written a bunch of good books, including Jail Blazers. We'll talk about Dame, Mello, and CJ and the boys coming up.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Kerry Eggers, longtime great writer in Portland and an author. He's written several books, including Jail Blazers. He's been on the bench before. We haven't talked to him in a minute. Let's get him back in here on the bench. How you doing, Kerry?
Hey, good, Scott. Thanks for having me on again.
It's good to hear your voice. So I got to tell you, I've been ranting and raving on the TV and radio on Sports Grid about this Blazer team. I think they look like an entirely different team. They look like the team, for me anyway, that went to the West Finals. They look like, you know, with Jurkic in there and Collins, they just look so much bigger and tougher. But the thing that I've that stood out to me the most that I've just been going off on is Gary Trent. I just think no one guards him. They leave him all alone, and he has just been daggering threes. And I think he's made a huge difference in their rotation.
Yeah, and, you know, this is the most unexpected happening of the season for the Blazers. You started the season, Scott. He wasn't even, you know, in the top 10 or 11 guys. Anthony Simons was a guy that was going to come off the bench. Anthony's had a terrible year, but Gary, you know, came on there a little bit before the season shut down, and now in these seeding games, he has been fantastic. He's an excellent defender, as you say. He's hit a lot of threes, and he's certainly benefited by, you know, the coverage that the opponents have on Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum. You're right. He's had a lot of open looks, but he's knocked them down.
I mean, when you saw Melo step up and hit that bomb late in that game last night when they beat the Rockets, what did you think of his performance? Now, I'm used to seeing him on the baseline with those, you know, little 15 footers and those elbow shots, those step back Jays. He's got those down to a science his whole career. And the three as well. I mean, he shot a million of them in his career. The guy's a scorer. But to see him now at this age, frankly, and at this stage of his career, stepping up and hitting bombs late in games, I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah. And that's what I wrote recently that, you know, he's in two of these three games, both the games the Blazers won, he had threes down the stretch that were just incredibly important shots. You know, he's been through it all, but he's also a guy that has sort of redeemed himself this season in Portland. Nobody wanted him last year. He thought maybe his career was over, came to Portland, didn't know exactly. He knew he was going to be a starter, but wasn't sure what his role would be. He's fitting well. He's had a great chemistry with Lillard and McCollum. They respect him, and he's played well enough offensively. He's never going to be a defender, but has come through with some really big moments for the Blazers.
You know, Kerry, he's just rebounding like crazy, and he knows, you said it, his role. He's, you know, I think he's been phenomenal on the weak side. And, you know, if you leave that guy a foot, if you give him 1 foot, he'll steal your lover. I mean, that guy will shoot in your face. If you give him 1 foot and you do not stick a hand in that guy's face all the way up in his nostrils, you are going to get lit up. That guy could shoot in his sleep. Rory Sparrow plays with me sometimes. Rory, he can't even run. The guy literally, he couldn't run to the mailbox. But I swear to God, Rory can still hit 40 footers. I mean, the guy will bury his shot from anywhere. Melo is going to be that guy. He's going to be able to shoot when he's 70.
There's no question he's a gym rat, and he loved it. And that I did a big piece with him earlier in the year, Scott, and he said, you know, he missed – the thing he missed the most was just the competition. And he'd been out of it for, what, at that point, 17 months, I think. And he's so excited to be – he's really enjoyed himself. He's fit in, you know. He's not – it's never going to be his team. But it's, in fact, he's the number four option, I would say, behind Nurkic and the two guards. But, you know, his role, as we talked about, has been really, really critical for the Blazers.
How about Nurkic? What a monster. And 19 boards and his just his physicality. I think people forget how good he is when he was gone. You know what I mean? Like, he was so out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. And then when he came back, he's just looked so incredible. And like, he never missed a beat. Like, he's just like, give me the pill and let's go to work. And he is just dominating in the block. I think with his size and length and everything, his shot, his rebounding, he's clearing guys out easily, just shoving them right out of the way. Boy, does he look good.
Yeah, I didn't know how he'd come back, you know, a broken leg, a very serious leg injury. I was just about ready to play when the virus shut things down in March. And so, you know, I didn't know if he was really going to be rusty. He hasn't been rusty. And Scott, what happens with when he's there and they're starting, they've got 3 7-footers and him and Collins and Hassan Whiteside, who are now coming off the bench. There's no team that can, there's, you know, the way the game is now, it's so much predicated on 3-point shot. I mean, the Rockets are shooting 60 trays a night, and the Blazers are still shooting threes, but they've got guys that they can pound it into. They won their boards against Houston the other night, 64-39. And so there is some value still in big guys, and they got Nurkic, Collins, and Whiteside as proof.
Is Whiteside happy there, you know, with Jurkic back and Collins back, who's also long and athletic for a big? Is Whiteside happy? Now, I've seen him smiling on the court and playing. Is he happy, though? Because we all already know he's sensitive, like because of Miami. He was bitter there. What's he like?
He's had an excellent attitude all year, but of course he was playing. He was starting. No, he will not be back next year, Scott. You know, Nurkic is the center of the future. Hassan is still one of the better centers in the league, and he's 32 years old. He'll be a free agent, and he'll get a nice contract with somebody, but it won't be with Portland.
So what happened? Like, did you get sick of the newspaper business? How bad it is? How it's changed so negatively and dried up and just become a disaster, even though, you know, you and I have had these conversations. I'm a huge newspaper fan. I still get newspapers yep. delivered to my driveway every day. What's a day without a newspaper to me? Like, I grew up with newspapers. I went to journalism school at Indiana University. I care about newspapers. They've been destroyed. They've been gobbled up, destroyed, gone into hiding, defunct, whatever you want to call it. What prompted you to start your own thing and to break free of all of it? Were you just sick and tired of it? What happened?
Well, after 45 years in the business, 7 years with the Oregon Journal, 18 with the Oregonian, and 19 at the Portland Tribune, I got laid off in April. You're right. The newspaper business is hemorrhaging right now, and both C. Brandon, our sports editor, and I got our pink slips. So, you know, I figured, well, I'm retired, but there's a gentleman who approached me just after this news and said, I'd like to develop a website for you, which has allowed me a chance to, you know, I'm going to do a podcast series. I've been able to post some stories. We have a pretty good following now. I just signed to write a book on ex-Blazer Jerome Kersey. So I'm keeping busy, and that's fine. I'm getting up there. I'm 67 years old now, so I figure out, you know, time that I can call my own shots a little bit.
Well, I'm happy for you because, I mean, you are the man out there when it came to sports writing. And Your books are phenomenal. I think the last time I had you on was Jailblazers, but you've written a bunch of great books. What's the book on, what's the angle on Kersey? That's a great idea on your part. You always had great ideas. What's the spin there?
Kersey was one of the great unknowns when he went to Longwood College. First of all, he didn't have any, he's just one of those late bloomers who didn't have anything out of high school. He's a poor kid, was raised by his grandparents, had no parents, went to Longwood College, was the last pick in the second round by the Blazers. And nobody expected him even to make the team. Jack Ramsey was a coach that year, said, you should go to Europe, son, and get some seasoning. Made the team. You know, he's just the underdog, the ultimate underdog. Then, you know, he played 17 years in the league, became a champion in San Antonio. He's still revered around Portland. You know, he died, Scott, in 2015, tragically, of a blood clot at age 54.
Right.
And so, you know, he's very beloved in Portland, and they remember him in Virginia. So they approached me about doing the book, and I said, yeah, I'd like to do it. I knew him very well, and he was a great guy.
That's a great idea. Good for you. Hey, what's the deal with, you know, I love it there. You know, I've been there. I've done shows there. It's a great city. What has happened there at night? What is going on? I mean, when is that going to end, that nonsense? I mean, now, fair enough. I understand there.
I wish it would. Yeah. But what's happened, Scott, is that there's peaceful protests until about 11 or 12 at night, and then the rioters come in and you know, firebomb the federal building, and the feds came in, and there's just been a terrible. If you went and looked in downtown Portland right now, Scott, you wouldn't believe it. All the businesses are boarded up. I have a friend who owns a jewelry shop. It was looted and broken into twice. These are not the peaceful protesters that, you know, that are 95% of the people down there. These are probably anarchists. I'm not sure exactly who they are, but they're just criminals, and it needs to be taken care of. I'm sick of it too.
Yeah, I can't even fathom. I got 45 seconds respectfully, Kerry. You like them against the Nuggets tomorrow night? What do you think we'll see there?
Well, Denver still plays well. They're really hard up on the guard. They've got three guards out, so I think Portland will have the advantage in the backcourt. You mentioned Trent. If these guys can stay hot, I think they'll win it. Nuggets are always tough, though. I never bet against Jokic. That's a great rivalry. Those teams played in the playoffs 2 years ago. One of the best series I've ever covered.
Check out KerryEggers.com and follow Kerry, his podcast that he's going to be doing. And obviously, when he comes out with the Kersey book, I'm sure it'll be another bestseller. Kerry, it's a pleasure to catch up. Be well, my friend. Take care of that city for me. I don't want it to get out of control and burn to the ground, all right?
I'll do what I can. Thanks, Scott.
All right, Kerry Eggers, a great writer, author, newspaper guy from Portland, talking about the Blazers tonight on a bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Good having Kerry on, Kerry Eggers in Portland. That city, what they're going through, it's been going on for a while now, right? A couple of months at least. I can't even believe what I've seen there, the nightly violence and just everything. I mean, just you name it, it's been going on there. Fire bombs, Molotov cocktails. People, rock throwing, I mean, you name it, it's all happened there. The buildings, businesses being just destroyed. They brought in, like, feds. They brought in, like, I mean, military. They brought in the National Guard. They brought in every cop in the world. The protesters were, you know, they were peaceful, and then it turned into violence. After hour, like, underground violence. It's crazy what's going on there in Portland, Oregon. I can't even believe it, because I've never seen that place, you know, not be a beautiful, peaceful, like, wonderful city. It's just a cool place. Portland's a cool place. And to see it now like this, it's like, I don't understand. I really don't. I mean, I'll never understand why would you? It just makes no sense to me. Why would you like destroy your own city? I mean, I get it. You're protesting, you know, then, you know, I hear all this peaceful protest. I get it. That's what it's all about. Right. But when is, you know, protest never seems to work anymore peacefully, in my opinion. It all starts out like it's going to be peaceful, and it never ends up peaceful. Right. It starts out peaceful and then it gets violent. And it's just every time these protests, if they get big enough, if they spawn big enough, they get violent. And then, you know, all it takes is one or two people to ruin it, and then it turns into chaos, right? So that's what's happened here. Chaos. Absolute chaos. So Penguins on a I feel bad for people there. I really do. I can't believe what they've done to that city. They're destroying their own city. Like, how do you not see that? Like, how can you not sit there for 2 months and watch that happening and just say, enough's enough already? Like, what's the point anymore? I don't get it. Like, why is it? Can someone explain that to me? Why is it that everywhere else it's pretty much stopped, hasn't it? Mafia, you can't even argue that. Like, has the protesting stopped everywhere else but Portland?
It has. And, you know, for the most part, even when it is some protesting still going on, it's usually a lot, you know, smaller, a lot more quiet, a lot more peaceful. You know, you're not looting, obviously, in all the big cities at the beginning, because unfortunately, when you get a big group like that together and there's anonymity in there, people take advantage of that, especially right now with a lot of people wearing masks, you know, for COVID reasons, not just to try to hide their identity. So you always have those animals that are going to get involved and just ruin things and, you know, change what the message is by, you know, showing this violence, because of course that's what the news is going to lead with. But it's terrible to see. I mean, I was just there 9 months ago out in Portland. Me and my fiance went out to Seattle, then we drove down to Portland, and it was an awesome city. We were just walking around for 2 days, just checking out all the city, going to all the different microbreweries and the stores. It was an awesome city. I loved every second of it. And to see that going on is just really disheartening.
Yeah, it's not lovely anymore. I mean, it's just, you can't even go there. It's become Beirut. You literally can't even go there. It's become a war zone. It's an absolute war zone. So the Penguins have a minute left on a power play, but they can't do anything against Montreal, and they're losing 4-3. They're going to lose this game that they were up 3-1, and they're going to lose 4-3, and they're going to be down 2-1 in the series and one loss away from elimination from one of the worst teams in hockey. I mean, that's all you need to know, that they suck. I mean, it really is. Even if they were to tie this game right now on this power play, I still think they'll lose the game. I really do. I really do, because they can't beat this team. That's all you need to know. They're going to lose the series too, because they can't beat them. They just can't beat them. Have their number. They have their number. That's it. It's over. They cannot score on Price.
If you gave the question to Montreal fans, or probably even people within the organization, and, you know, with anonymous quotes, what their choice would have been, with a 12.5% chance at the number one pick or going to the second round of the playoffs, hands down, they all would have taken the pick, and somehow they're going to end up in the playoffs second round.
Yeah, they're going to win, and that'll be that. The Penguins suck, and that's it. Their Stanley Cup run is officially over. The window is now completely closed. They will not win a Stanley Cup again with Crosby and Malkin, and you can quote me on that. Those days are over. But, you know, at the same time, I can't sit there and cry because they won three Stanley Cups together, and they, you know, the franchise has five Stanley Cups with Lemieux and Jagr on top of that. So five Stanley Cups, I'll take it every time. And you can't win it every year, and that's just all there is to it. And this team is, you know, they've never been that legit this year. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You can say whatever you want about them. You can talk, you can make fun of them, you can rip them, you can laugh at them that they're losing to Montreal. That's all fine. But I know that, A, I don't play. I've said that a million times. I'm not on the team, okay? So I don't play on the Penguins. It's not my fault that the Penguins lose all the time. And secondly, is that they actually, all season long, they were never that good. I mean, they weren't that great, right? There was a lot better teams in my opinion, there was a lot better teams in the East. Boston, Tampa, you know, these teams have played better than the Penguins. I think the Penguins were one of the best teams. I think they were probably top five, but they still weren't top three or four, in my opinion. They'd probably be the fifth team. If you ask me, the Flyers played better than them. You know what I mean? Like, so my thing is, I just feel like it's just not that big of a deal that they, you know, that they're losing, because they were never that good to begin with. They weren't. They were average all season long. They were just middle of the road. They were top tier, but they were middle of the road with the top tier. You know what I mean, Mafia? They weren't the best team, in my opinion, in the East at all. Not even close.
No, they weren't. Their ranking right now is pretty accurate of where they were this season, like you said. And, you know, even being a top team this year, it doesn't really help you. I mean, look at the Bruins. We talked about that going into this round robin thing, about how they hands down, are the best team in the East. You know, one of the best teams in the NHL, should have absolutely had the number one seed. And not that it matters with home ice not being involved anymore, but now they lose two games and they're out of it. The whole season down the drain to, you know, they could fall to probably fourth seed and have to play, you know, the fifth best team left because this round robin situation.
Yeah, they're in big trouble. I hit that game today, the Tampa game that they won over Boston. I don't know what's happened here in this hockey game. They brought some guy on the ice. I don't know what he's fixing. I don't understand what's going on. Oh, the door or something was broken or something over by the bench. I don't know. That was a giant disaster that stopped all the momentum
They had him skate over to do what? He just looked like he just slammed it closed and that was it. Like, all the guys on the bench around there looking at this, this guy just skates over and just slams the door and is good.
Like, I don't get it, but they had like an empty net. They had the extra attacker out and they just cannot do anything. It doesn't matter if they had seven extra attackers. They cannot score on this guy. You're up 3-1 in a hockey game. You got to win the game. And they didn't. So that's that. It's over. So you're not winning games when you blow 3-1 leads in the playoffs. That's all there is to it. I mean, I already know what's happening in this game. I've seen this story 5,000 times over my 55 years, watching them pike a 3-1 lead. They choked, and that's it. Game over. You don't deserve to win when you blow a 3-1 lead, and they're going to lose tonight because they suck. That's it. You blew a 3-1 lead, you suck, and that's it. Go to bed. And you got to live with it. You got to live with the fallout of this, because this is embarrassing. You're up 3-1 on this crappy team, and you can't beat them. You're up 3-1 and you give up three straight goals to this team that can't score to save their ass. And then against the Penguins, they score at will.
You want to know how we feel about you? Boo. Boo on you.
And that's a final now, and Montreal wins it. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. It really is unbelievable that they are this much, that they're folding like a cheap suit. I mean, it is unbelievable how bad they are. They suck so bad. They make me sick to my stomach watching them play. I can't even get over it. Like, they were up 3-1, and I thought, I was like, they got this in the bag. This game's in the bag. And then you blow that lead. Crosby knows he's going to go in the bathroom and hurl for an hour. He's standing over there watching his team go off. He won't even say a word to any of them because they're so pathetic. How do you blow a 3-1 lead to the Montreal Canadiens, who can't get out of their own way all season? They suck so bad. And then they're kicking the Penguins' ass up and down in this series. I mean, they have kicked their ass up and down. It's just, it truly is unbelievable to me. It's just, I can't even get over it, how bad they suck. Like, somebody in Pittsburgh, I hope at least somebody just starts abusing them, because
I don't want to swear,
so
but what the bleep are you doing, dude?
I mean, honestly, they make me sick to my stomach. I want to punch someone in the face. I'm so mad right now watching them play. I'm getting COVID. I'm getting COVID just watching them play. My whole body temperature is changing. If I had to go someplace right now and get a temperature check, because, you know, when you go out and everybody's, you know, checking your temperature wherever you go, when you go into a business, can we check your temperature, please? Everywhere I go, I get my temperature checked. And right now, my temperature is 102. I'm 102 right now after watching the Penguins blow that game. I mean, unbelievable how much you guys are a bunch of peas. What a bunch of peas. I mean, to tell you, oh my God, I can't even watch them anymore. I won't even watch the next game. I can't even watch, because I'll end up in prison. I'll end up in handcuffs. watching them because I'll commit felonies. I can't even watch them play. They suck so bad. I mean, not one guy does anything. Not one guy. I mean, Crosby's the only guy on the whole team that's good. That's it. He's the only guy. I mean, Getzel's become a complete B. Russ does nothing. Malkin does nothing. Letang does nothing. They do nothing. They're done. They're that championship caliber core that they've had winning all these Stanley Cups, winning three Stanley Cups together, it's so over. It's not even funny. And your boy Sullivan, he looks exposed too, like he's completely naked. Like, he won two Stanley Cups with him, and Bylsma won the other one. But your boy Sullivan now getting exposed because he can't beat the Canadians. He can't get this team ready. He can't get them ready to beat the one of the worst teams in the league. You can't beat one of the worst teams. They shouldn't even be there. That's how bad they are. They should let 16 teams into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Instead, they let all these crappy teams into this bubble, and look what it's turned into. It's true. All these crappy teams that don't deserve to be there are now upsetting teams. Fair enough. That was their plan. Let's ruin all the good teams in meaningless five-game series, and then they all get dropped out of it, and now you got a bunch of crappy teams playing in the 16. That's what it is. That's what it's going to be. And you know what? Good teams, like if Tampa played Montreal, they'd score six goals a night on them. That's how many times they would score six a night, and they'd win in four or five games. Montreal wouldn't even win a game. They'd sweep them. You're going to see what happens when the crappy teams make it into the tournament, make it into the playoffs, and they start the playoffs. You're going to see the crappy teams get their ass beat by good teams. And that proves to me now that the Penguins aren't a good team at all. All right, the Blackhawks have a lead on the Oilers. One zip, Olli Maatta has scored. One zip, Chicago. Boston Celtics blowing out the Nets in a meaningless game at this point, 93-67. So I guess the Nets shot their wad the other night against the Bucks. This thing's ugly, and there's still an entire quarter left and change. 3:42 left in the third, and they are obliterating the Nets. I just want to see in terms of like the, you know, producers in this game. Nobody's done jack on the Harris leads the Nets with 14. That's it. And then Jaylen Brown has 21, Tatum 13, 3 3-pointers, Hayward 12 and a 3-pointer, Tice 10 and a 3-pointer, Smart 9 and a 3-pointer. They got everybody. Cantor's got 7, Williams 7, Wanamaker 7. Speaking of Wanamaker, the Forellamaker is starting tomorrow in San Francisco. That's going to be a great PGA championship. Begins at Harding Park. I know everyone's excited about the major that's happening in Northern California in the city by the bay, Harding Park. I heard that, and I could be wrong, but I heard that they're actually going to have, like, it's going to be like 60 degrees there the whole tournament. What is that about? Like, isn't it not August? What is happening where it's 60 degrees in San Francisco? Listen, I live there. Don't tell me it's 60 degrees in August. I mean, I live there. I've lived there in August, and it was, you know, 80 degrees. I don't understand. Maybe it's because it's close to the water or something. I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't remember where Harding Park is, obviously. But I heard they're playing in like the 60s in the PGA Championship this week. Can you believe that?
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.